Sally Mae Stoneham was born on November 3rd, 1945. God made her his child through the waters of baptism on April 21st, 1946, and she was confirmed in the faith at the age of 14 in the Lutheran Church. Sally married Christopher Stoneham on March 30th, 1970, and God blessed them with daughters Rebecca, Sarah, and Elizabeth. God also blessed her with 13 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. In his infinite wisdom, God took Sally home to be with him in heaven on January 21st, 2020. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we have come together to seek God's comfort in our sorrow and to rejoice in the promise of the resurrection. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We pray. Lord Jesus, you wept at the grave of your friend Lazarus, and you consoled Mary and Martha in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Sally, and dry the tears of all who weep. Calm our troubled hearts, dispel our doubts and fears, and lead us to praise you for having brought her to faith. In your rising from the dead, you conquered death and opened the gates to eternal life. Strengthen us with your word, carry our burdens, and lead us through this earthly life until at last we are united with you and all the saints in glory everlasting. Amen. Continue with our responsive reading to the Lord. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night.
Our secret sins in the light of your presence.
You turn mortals back to dust. You sweep them away in the sleep of death.
The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet the strength is but trouble and sorrow.
Teach us to number our days aright,
that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love,
that we may sing with joy and be glad all our days.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. One of the songs that Sally wanted at her victory service was "Nearer, My God, to Thee." It's printed for you there on page 3.
Thank you.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus gives us this comfort. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God.
He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When Christ, who is our life, appears,
then we also will appear with him in glory.
We will be before the throne of God,
serving day and night in his temple.
Never again will we hunger. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water.
And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.
Let us pray.
God of all grace, you sent your Son Jesus to destroy the power of death and to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we too shall live. Comfort us with your promise that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue in this victory service of Sally Stoneham by going to the Word of God for comfort. And we especially see that comfort in Job chapter 19. Here in Job 19, we see pour through Job the result of God's love. Job says, "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." The word of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see the great depths of the love of God, a love that is very powerful to take us from death to life. God be praised, this is what we celebrate, that Sally celebrated as well. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The word of the Lord. When we consider the love of God and what it's done for us, we consider the fact that it sent his own Son to take the punishment that we deserve. We see that in John chapter 3. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The Gospel of the Lord. We join together in another hymn that Sally wanted at her victory service, one that celebrates what we just read in John 3, A Beautiful Savior, hymn 369 in the Red Songbooks.
Grace and peace
are yours, thanks to Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we've been talking a lot today about the love of God. We've already heard a lot, just from three little lessons. There's a lot there. We learned that this love is very much undeserved. Read that and heard that about the punishment and wrath that we deserve, the fact that we are spiritually dead, that objects of wrath by nature, and yet, because of God's great love, it's also given still. It's undeserved and yet still given. We call that grace. God's love and God's grace has done amazing things for us. And we know that. And so has Sally. Sally's known that for a long time. I told a family after Sally passed that I've really only had one long extended conversation with Sally. I had thought that she was quiet and reserved. And then I visited her in a care facility a few weeks before she passed, and I realized she is not quiet and reserved, and I praise God for that, because of that fact, I I learned what she knew. And what she knew is that love we've been talking about, God's love. She knew that we didn't deserve God's love. She knew that God gave that love anyway through Christ. She knew what that meant for her eternally. And because she had that knowledge, there's something else that she knew. There's another piece of knowledge that she had. And that brought with it two gigantic truths that made themselves very evident in our conversation. That piece of knowledge that Sally knew, Sally knows that her Redeemer lives. That knowledge can shine bright for us in dark times like this. It shined bright for Sally even in that dark time when she was in the care facility. Every time we go through difficulty or troubles, it's that truth, that knowledge, that really shines. That's what shined bright for Job, too, and what we just read in our first lesson from Job 19. If you don't know anything about Job, then just know that if you think about trouble, sorrow, difficulty, pain, sadness, Job knew that too. Job was a rich man, very blessed by God, and then he lost it all. Suddenly he heard that his sheep, his camels, and all of his herds, gone. Suddenly. It got even worse. Suddenly he hears again about all of a sudden his sons and daughters were taken away in a catastrophe. That was all in one day. Then God allowed Satan to inflict Job with painful sores all over his skin and flesh. And then it got worse for Job. You think that he'd go to his wife for comfort? No, she said, curse God and die. Ouch. And then, instead of having friends come and comfort him, they came to him and said, Job, you must be a really terrible person for God to do all of this to you. Job was maintaining, no, that's not what God does. And there he is, languishing in sorrow and pain and sadness and his flesh giving out on him. All of this sadness and pain. And yet in the midst of all of that, there was something that shined forth for Job. Something that shined brighter than it all. And it gave Job this excitement and this joy in the moment in the midst of all this darkness. It shined bright, and Job has to say, oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. There's something that shined forth in that darkness that was something that had to be known for years and years to come, something that would silence all the doubt about God and his plan, something that would shine forth in all the difficulty and trouble. What was it? Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. It was the Redeemer, capital R, Redeemer. We know him as Jesus. Job looked ahead and saw in faith what Jesus would do. He would redeem us. That means to buy back from slavery. You and I, all people, slaves to sin. And sin brings with it death. And yet, Job looked forward and saw his Redeemer not dead, but alive. This Redeemer would come and he would take upon himself flesh. And he would die in that flesh for our sins. And yet, he would still stand upon the earth, the very earth that is meant to claim all of us. Dust we are, and to dust we return, but not him. No, he would stand victorious for us. And Sally knew that too. Sally knew who Jesus was and what he did. Sally knew God's grace in the Redeemer. She knew that Jesus paid for her sin. She knew that Jesus was alive. And she celebrated that. Every Easter, that's what we celebrate. Sally knew that all of that meant one big, gigantic truth. We are forgiven. If sin brings with it death, and yet sin was paid for, then all that's left is life. And Jesus proves it. He's the first fruits. His rising to life proves that his payment for our sin accepted. We are forgiven. Job looks forward and sees that, and it's concrete fact. I know that my Redeemer lives, and so did Sally. She looked back and knew that same truth. But that's not the only truth that comes with this piece of knowledge. Now, Job realized that there was another truth that came along with that. And as he's sitting there, languishing in this skin and this flesh that was eating itself away, as he's got tears in his eyes, this is what he says: "And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." As Job considers what's going on in the darkness, it's not just this piece of knowledge that the Redeemer lives, but it's what it means for him someday. He too would be raised to life. And it proved it. As he's sitting there in this skin that has all of these sores, he says, "Well, after this is completely destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. It'll be completely restored, completely new." Even his eyes that were filled with tears would be, instead of tears of sorrow, tears of joy, as he himself with his own eyes saw God. This God that we were separated from because of sin, separated no more, fully restored, fully resurrected, eternal life. And Sally yearned for that too. She still does. A little while ago, we committed Sally's body to the earth. But that same body will rise to life. In her flesh, she will see God. That very body we committed to the earth will be raised by Christ. Those very eyes will see God. And she will stand upon the earth just like her Savior, resurrected. That is the joy that she yearns for still in heaven. Her soul is up there right now. But someday it will be reunited with that very body. That beautiful piece of knowledge, "I know that my Redeemer lives," proves it. So all that's left is you and me. We're still here. So what does that piece of knowledge mean for you and me? The same exact thing. We know that our Redeemer lives. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you are forgiven. Just as Sally knew she was. Brothers and sisters, this means that we will all rise to life someday. Death has no power over us, not with what Jesus did. So now let us yearn as Job did. Let us yearn as Sally did for our Savior. Let's recognize the power of the word of promise that we have. Let us recognize this joy that we have and that we can look forward to. And let's live in that and live for God. Yeah, I didn't have too many conversations with Sally, just one. But it was very obvious what she knew. And because she knew that, she knew there was great hope in store for her. Not just of what she's experiencing now, but on the last day too. It's because now more than ever, Sally knows that her Redeemer lives. Amen. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus our Savior. Amen. We now join together to confess our faith in words that Sally confessed so many years. The words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the responsive prayer and
the Lord's Prayer on page 6. We pray. Almighty God, we praise you for the great company of saints who have finished their lives in faith and now rest from their labors. We remember especially our loved one Sally, whom you have redeemed by the blood of your Son and received as your dear child through the holy baptism. We thank you for giving her to us as a companion on our earthly pilgrimage. In your compassion, comfort all who are sad in this hour. Lord, in your mercy,
we praise you for your love in Christ, which sustains us in life and death.
In our earthly sorrows, help us find strength in the fellowship of the church, joy in the forgiveness of sins, and hope in the resurrection to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, you do not leave us comfortless, but strengthen and care for us through your word and sacrament. You give us family, friends, and neighbors to help when there is loneliness now and in the days to come. Brighten our future with a firm trust in your promises and care. Lord, in your mercy,
remove our fears
and make us bold to pray with confidence as our Savior has taught us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our closing hymn,
Another Request from Sally, is therefore
printed for you on page 7.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming and celebrating the work of Christ in Sally's life. As you have time, you can read the words about Sally on the back of the bulletin. Now we will make our way over to the gym where we'll have a luncheon prepared. Before we go over there, so that anybody can continue and go right to eating, let us join together in the common table prayer.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. God's blessings on your day.